Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mean Green Nation podcast. It's like for your iPod, right? But it's like a broadcast. Do you get it? You see what I did there? I came up with that myself, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast. With me, as usual, is Mr. Aldo Avina. How are you doing on this fine Monday evening?
I'm trying not to get flooded out.
Dude, I went, you know, I was at work and, you know, like I was finishing up my lunch. I brought my own lunch today, right? You know, trying to save a buck. But I was like, you know what? It's cold. Let me go get me a Starbucks, right? It's just right there. So I got in the car and I drove over to Starbucks, give me another, because I don't like to work coffee. And, you know, I was just going to get coffee just to warm me up. And as soon as it was my turn to reach out, like it started raining, like torrential, like Noah flood rain. And, like, it was, like, coming into the car, and I was, like, handing my money, and they're giving me the coffee. And they're like, hurry up, you know, and I was like, yeah, hurry up, just throw the coffee in here. You know, like, it was just, like, flash flood. I almost, like, drifted away. I was like, wow, what a way to die. You know, Adam went to go get some coffee, and that's how he died, right? That's good,
you know? But you didn't spill it.
He didn't spill his coffee, but he did drown tragically. Ladies and gentlemen, we won. That's why we're in such a good mood. You know, it turns out you can podcast on a Monday night and still have the good feelings from Saturday afternoon, rainy afternoon in Denton. And Ren Baker scolded us. He scolded everybody. He scolded you, dude. He knew that you took a trip to Oklahoma. He's like, Aldo, I didn't see you at the game, Aldo. Where were you, Aldo? yeah, I mean, you know, it looked like it was going to be rained out, like literally an hour before the game, right? You know, when people are making plans, packing up the kids, you know, when you're trying to figure out your day and, you know, then all of a sudden it's like, nah, not going to rain at all. It's hard to make that turn. I saw somebody say that we should just add the retractable roof. Wait, it was me that said that, right? Like, we should do a retractable roof at Apogee. That's what we should put in the budget. You know, forget the new indoor practice facilities, do an indoor stadium, retractable roof style. Then we have no excuse not to be there.
A giant umbrella like they have at the restaurants where you have to crank it.
Yeah. Just put it at the 50-yard line. We're just like, look, just go around it, all right? Just go around it. Yeah, so some complaints. It's good when the only thing we complain about is like, hey, you guys should have been there to see us win 37, right? We watched it via other means, and it was a good time. Your North Texas Mean Green are 6-1. You know how... You know, I know you're a dad, right? And you got a couple kids. I know every once in a while, maybe you just kind of stop and look at your wife and say, we have two kids, you know? And she's like, yeah, I know. When the hell did that happen, you know? Like, I remember we were just dating, you know? Just, you know.
Staying up late and just going to the grocery store without having to worry about anything.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. It was like midnight. Like, do you want to just leave and, like, not come back for a week? We can do that right now. Like, yeah, let's do that. Can't do that anymore. Well, anyway, that's realization where you just look up and say, when did we get married? When do we have kids? When did this happen? Same kind of deal, but like in the same good way, like, hey, we're 6-1. North Texas is 6-1. Like, you know, that's, you know, top of the nation kind of thing. It's crazy. It's even more crazy. We're playing a very good UAB, U Alabama Birmingham Blazers, of Birmingham. Blazers, in case you didn't know. This week, they're 5-1. They're real good. But let's finish talking about this game. There's some good things in this game. There's some bad things in this game. But I don't know that anybody was super excited about this one because, I mean, Southern Miss is good, but they're the kind of good, like, they're going to be good. Or, you know, like, if you're really not paying attention, they can jump up and bite you. But it was nothing that anybody was really scared of. Yeah. Would you agree with that assessment?
Pre-game, I was worried. I mean, they had a good defense coming in, stats-wise, and I mean that's.
But who'd they play? Who did they play? You know.
Who does anybody play in Conference USA?
Yeah, I mean, all right. So they played Jackson State. You know, Mummy, he quit. He was the offensive coordinator there. They played ULM, and they lost to them. 20-21. I just remember from memory. Like I'm looking at just a blank schedule. I just remember this. And then they didn't play App State. Then they beat Rice 40-22 in a game where Rice was kind of with them for a little bit, right? Then I think what everybody was thinking about was that Auburn game. Like, oh, man, they played Auburn. Auburn's real good, ladies and gentlemen. No, they're not. They're terrible. Auburn's awful. They want to fire their coach. Every one of these teams is bad on offense. Jackson State, Louisiana Monroe, Appalachian State that you don't play. Rice, not good. Auburn, not good. Bye week, not good. North Texas is the best team they've played all season. Yeah?
I feel like we've been saying that every single week, though. Like, Arkansas is the best team we've played all season.
Well,
La Tech is the best team we played all season.
I mean the other way around. Like, the best team that USM had played is us. That's what I mean.
Yeah, no, and I'm saying that we're doing that for both teams, like La Tech as well.
Yeah, I take your point. I understand what you're saying. You're like, hey, you know, they were good for what, you know, they showed. And I agree with you there. They have some talent. I was concerned about Jack Abraham. I mean, the way we saw Ryan Metz slicing us up, right, for 300 and something yards, I was like, okay, they actually have a quarterback and an offense designed to throw the ball. You know, what happens here? Turns out he sliced us up for 318 yards. Yeah. Mike Canales had revenge. Yeah, good for him. Good for him. But yeah, so North Texas allowed 300-yard passer, right? A 300-yard passer. Allowed a 300-yard passer. Back-to-back weeks. That's not good, and it's dropped us a little bit in the standings. But, you know, same token, right? We hadn't played any teams that could throw the ball really well. And I'm going to do the same thing. We'll look at our schedule again. So I don't miss anything. Southern Methodist, the Ponies, right? Little college, little religious college down the way. Probably never heard of them. You know, but they were kind of struggling. They had talent, but they hadn't really done anything, and they still really haven't done anything. Incarnate Word, I think at that point they might have been the best passing team. They're actually really good right now. They lost on Saturday. I was watching this game on ESPN Plus. They lost. They lined up for the game-winning kick. It got blocked. Lamar returned it all the way and won the game. It was like no time left on the clock. It was crazy. Other than that, Incarnate Word is they're one game out of first place in the whatever Southland Conference. But you know, they had a freshman quarterback. Arkansas, they had a rotating cast, right? They had Jerry Jones's grandkid out there throwing passes. No,
yeah, they lost the game for them over the weekend against Ole Miss.
And then you know they Liberty? Liberty was the best passing dude. And I think that's the one everybody was like, oh, man, they were moving the ball pretty well there, huh? Well, yeah, they had a good guy. That's, you know, not surprising. But they were not as talented. But, you know, they moved the ball the best. Louisiana Tech, that's the one everybody remembers. I said it before, they had talent, right? They like to throw it up and let the receivers make a play. And so they did. And that was scary. You know, UTEP was surprising, but they kind of did the same thing. They're like, let's throw it to Warren Reddix, let him make a play. He did, but they didn't, you know. There was that one where Cam Johnson fell down. My point in all this is that we're going to give up those big plays like that, just the way that we play, right? Sometimes, you know, it's like when you go play basketball, man-to-man defense, right, and you're super aggressive going for every steal, sometimes you're going to get burnt. But the way that we play, we're betting that we're going to win those more often than not. And we did, right? We got an interception. Changed the game. We got to rip the ball out of the other dude's hand. Hands is going to change the game.
Yeah, and that's the point I was going to get to, that our guys have been allowing some passers to get some yards, but we've been coming up with these turnovers. Just out of the ripping them out of guys' hands, we've been coming up with these turnovers out of the blue, it seems like. And that's the opportunities that we've been taking. We did it against Liberty, and you know, you said that you know, good teams don't do that, which is true. But we did it to Southern Miss as well.
Yeah, I think at a certain point, I think the advanced numbers say that you can't really pick, you can't really like bank on interceptions, right? It's a function of how good or bad the quarterback is and the way they play. But I think you can see that North Texas likes to play such an aggressive style of defense that they're going to force you to make throws that are interceptable. Does that make sense? You know, they're going to play in your face. And so you're like, well, this fade route is going to be open. And those are interceptable. You know what I mean? If you're sitting back in a soft zone, yeah, you can intercept some of those passes, but sometimes they're tougher because they'll throw underneath them, they'll throw short. But, you know, so, like, when you're playing that style of defense, you're going to see some of those short passes, some of the slant routes. Those are going to be open, right? Quez Watkins, that he caught the pass and that he turned up field was less of a problem than the fact that nobody tackled him after the fact, right? Everybody missed a tackle in the secondary, or they just got, you know, turned around and fell down. That's bad. Yeah, that's going to happen. You'll take one of those and take an interception too. You know, because a lot of times they were just knocking the passes down. Cam Johnson played well on third down. He knocked a couple passes down. We're really saying, hey, look, modern offense is predicated on getting numbers advantages. We're not going to give you those numbers advantages. We're going to play almost man-to-man and dare you to beat us one-on-one while we have a dude running into your face, right? EJ Ejiya trying to sack you. Brandon Garner trying to get to you. Ladarius Hamilton was dominant. He had 2 sacks, and he was chasing Jack Abraham all day. You know, I think we won a lot. We only allowed 7 points, right? I mean, whatever you want to say about the yards, you can go up and down the field. But if you're not scoring points, you're not going to win a game. That's the way this works.
And you know, Abraham was backpedaling. When he threw that interception, he was throwing off his back foot, about to get hit. So we were getting in his face and causing him to anticipate those hits. So he was just, you know, throwing it up, hoping his receiver would make a play on it. And he was just so off that it was just landing our guy's breadbasket. So we've turned into a bend don't break attacking defense. I don't know if there's a better way to say it.
I mean, that was what was advertised. If you remember ULM back when Reffitt coordinated that defense, that's what they were doing. They were like blitzing around. You're like, well, this is crazy defense. They're just kind of trying to wreak havoc, make plays. You know, I think that is a perfectly fine way to play defense, right? It's high variance. And I think making good tackles, like all defenses, you need to make tackles, right? And if you're tackling after the play, then you're going to limit them. You're going to say, you know what? Because you're going to give up something, right? The offense knows where they want to go with the ball every time. You don't know. So you're always reacting. So you try to give them a space and say, you know what? You can't throw over the top of me, but I'm going to give you 2 yards in front of me, right? Just for example. And you're betting, you know what? I can react to them catching a 2-yard pass and tackle the dude quicker there if I, you know, kind of hedge my bets a little bit. But if they try to throw it over the top of me, I'll be able to knock that down because I'm giving myself a little cushion, right? And the key there is, again, being able to make that tackle. And they'll try a bunch of things. They'll try to pump fake you or, you know, get you to mess up your reads or whatever. But if you can do that consistently, it's really hard to move down the field with 15, you know, 2 to 4 yard passes. It's, you know, like, that's really hard to do that. And that's what we're saying. Like, eventually you're going to say, you know what, let's throw the ball deep. And when you do, it's going to fall incomplete and you're going to get behind the chains and you're going to need a guy to make the play and we're going to bring pressure and we're not going to make it easy on you. Right, that's the whole idea behind a defense. And when you have guys that are actually getting there, right, we saw what happened last year. Guys were not getting there on third down, and they were beating us on third down passing. And so then our defense looks silly, right? Third and long, and you're allowed, like, what's going on? This defense is awful. What are you doing? It's the same defense. It's the same calls. It's the same players a lot of the time. It's just more success, right, which is interesting.
Yeah, they're becoming more efficient, especially – on the defensive line. You know, we've been pretty good against the run. We've been attacking the quarterback, and it's made a huge difference between last year and this year. Is finally getting to the quarterback, whether that's disrupting them, you know, disrupting the pass, or actually sacking them. Which before they would just roll out, pass, and make that you know, 48-yard.
Yeah, and that's this dude right now, right? AJ Erdley, that we're going to talk about in a second. You know, like, so whatever you want to say, I think we kind of saw this a little bit yesterday if you were watching the NFL. Like, Patrick Mahomes is moving the ball up and down the field, and they're kicking field goals in the first half against the Patriots. that's kind of what we're doing. They're saying, you know what, even if you're going to get big yardage, it's harder to get, you know, to score in the red zone, and so that's where we're going to keep you out of it. I don't know. We're one of the best defenses in this league. We're just playing so well right now. But the best defense maybe might be UAB. They're the sack machines. I think they're, what, fourth in the nation or something like that. They have like 19 sacks. Again, here's the deal. We didn't sack, or we didn't get to Jamar Smith as often as we wanted, right? Darius Hamilton didn't get to him as often as he wanted to. He was wearing 75 that day, too. But the next week, UAB sacked him 4 or 5 times with just the defensive line, man. They were just dominant, throwing dudes off the side. A lot of those linemen that played really well against North Texas didn't play so well against UAB. And I'm a little scared of that because I think UAB can defend, flooding the zones, you know, with defenders and rushing four and getting pressure on Mason Fine. And that's not going to be good. That's what I'm a little scared of there.
Yeah, I think so. So here's a little bit of optimism, a little bit of pessimism. I think that, yeah, UAB could potentially get in Mason Fine's face with just rushing four guys and then using their DBs to cover our guys. But Mason Fine can get out of the pocket. He can sense the pressure quickly and deliver the ball downfield. I mean, there was a fumbled snap. He picked it up. He had a guy in front of him, and he was able to run out of the pressure and then make a completion. I mean, it was only a 1 or 2 yard game, but he was able to make a completion and keep the drive going, or at least for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I said, that like Mason Fine played great. I think we only threw for 292 yards. Is what the stats tell me, but like he made so many great plays. Like there was that spin out of the sack. I think that's what you're talking about, right? There was a cornerback blitz and he spun out of it and he threw for like none yards, right? Or just threw it away. I forget what exactly happened on that one, but I mean he didn't throw for a touchdown, right? He didn't Pat Mahomes it and throw it 75 yards rolling left across the field to the back of the end zone, right? But he got out of a bad play. He got out of a sack like 3 times and turned him into at least a none-yard gain, which is great. And that was something, you remember I was bringing that up. I was like, well, who's going to do that? Remember Jeff Wilson in this same matchup last season turned what should have been a safety into like a 3-yard gain, right? And so you look at the stat sheet, you're like, that was just, he didn't do anything. But he did everything there because that would have changed the game. He outran that, broke like 3 tackles, pushed the pile a little bit. Those are the kinds of plays that you need. And, you know, I made sure to praise Jeff Wilson every time he did something like that. Like, those are huge plays that they just show up as like, you know, 3-yard run. But it's not. It was like a 7-yard run that required Herculean effort. And I was wondering, hey, is Mason Fine going to be able to do those things? That's what we need. We need a guy to do those things. We need a guy to turn a negative play into a positive play or a negative play into a neutral play. And hey, what do you know? Mason Fine is doing that. So here we have, let's mark it down. You know, let's mark it down. Kawhi, can you mark this down? Can you do it?
I'm a fun guy.
Good. He's so helpful. He's fun and helpful. All right, cool. So that's it. That's what makes me excited about it and gives me a little bit of hope because I was kind of wondering about that. But go ahead.
Here's another reason of optimism for North Texas. So yeah, when we talk about yardage, and this goes back to the bend don't break stuff we were talking about, you know, UAB is ranked first for allowing 157 yards a game, passing yards a game, while North Texas is 10th, allowing 257 passing yards a game, and this is in the conference. But if we look at QB ratings, and this is against FBS teams, when we look at QB rating, UAB's second with 108, and North Texas is third for 110. And a big difference here is that UAB has only snatched 3 interceptions, while North Texas has snatched 11 interceptions against FBS teams. So the big key here is how many interceptions is Erdley going to throw, because against FBS teams, he's only passed for 5 touchdowns and thrown 5 interceptions. So how are we going to defend this? You know, it's going to be against the run. This is going to be North Texas passing against UAB and UAB running against North Texas. And we're the best squad in the conference against FBS teams defending the run. We average, our defense averages 2.96 yards per carry, best in the conference. We've only allowed 4 rushing touchdowns, best in the conference, and we only allow 89 yards per game, best in the conference. So obviously UAB is going to do better than that. I'm not saying that we're going to stifle them, but I think the advantage is going to be for North Texas.
Yeah, I think I highlighted the ability of Liberty to run the ball. Like, Liberty ran the ball well against us, and that was concerning. That was on the road, right? At home against Tech, I thought we did a better job defending the run. Southern Miss didn't really run so great, except for one, the Travinsky Mosley kid. He ran okay. What were his numbers? I mean, look at those. I have them right here. He had 73 yards on 11 carries. His long was 33, so that was a big chunk of it. But overall, the team only managed 50 yards, right, because we sacked Abraham a bunch of times. But everybody else was pretty, you know, mediocre. Tez Park, 6 carries, 15 yards. I mean, we get a lot of sacks, so that's good. And by the way, you know, I wanted to mention this before I forget, and I have it here. In 2 games, Jalen Guyton against Southern Miss, 21 catches, 335 yards, 2 TDs. He had a big day yesterday. On Saturday. He had 7 catches, 124 yards on 10 targets. A little bit more efficient there, eh?
Yeah, he likes to blow up against Southern Miss.
Yeah, and last year they had an NFL like trio of guys out there. It's crazy. I'll say that. So UAB is averaging like 220 yards a game. I think they had 209 last week, but they were just throwing the ball all over Rice. Like, there was like a 95 yard touchdown. They could have ran for more if they wanted, but they didn't need to because they were just getting passing yards. So to your point, I mean, they played Savannah State, Coastal Carolina, Tulane, Charlotte, Louisiana Tech, Rice. Not exactly a murderer's row, and they did lose to Coastal Carolina. They are good, though. Like, they have talent. I've been concerned about them. Their defensive line is good, and they can run the ball. A.J. Eardley is not the best passer in the world, but he did throw for like 350 yards against us last season. Remember that. We know he can when he has to. North Texas did get up on UAB, though, and that is the good part, right? We saw what offense they ran last season. We're going to be ready for that kind of thing. I think what changes the numbers that you pointed out, right, because we've been good against the run. What changes the numbers is the run fits for a running quarterback, and he is a running quarterback. Like, that's his number one threat. He has Colin Lisa out there. Yeah, he has that Ubosi guy who was a player of the week, had like 200 yards receiving. But that was against Rice, and, you know, they didn't tackle. I think our guys can tackle better, they can cover better, and they can win some of those one-on-one matchups. And A.J. Early threw, he missed his first 12 passes against Louisiana Tech. That's the it's hit or miss with that dude. When he's hitting, they're a lot more dangerous than you know, I guess the numbers suggest. But he does miss. That is the deal.
His pass completion percentage is pretty low as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're most dangerous running the ball, and they will run the ball. They got that big dude, Spencer Brown, right? He was a freshman last season. I think he ran for 100 yards against us.
Spencer Brown and who's a good one? Lucius Stanley is also pretty dangerous. Yeah. He hasn't had as many carries as Spencer Brown, but he's got 6.8 yards per carry.
Yeah, both FAU and UAB are averaging 5.1 yards a carry. And, you know, just because FAU's ran 2 more times, they're averaging 236 a game. UAB's at 232 a game. North Texas, by the way, is at 156 and 15 rush touchdowns, in case you're wondering. I looked at this somewhere else. Like UAB is averaging 34 a game, but I think in conference they're averaging like 35. Do I have that right? You don't have that in front of you?
Attempts or?
The scoring points total points.
Sorry, I don't have that in front of me.
That's fine. I'll look it up. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, I was going to go back to, you know, yardage numbers against the FBS teams, and obviously UAB and Florida and Atlantic are going to be the best teams because UAB runs it really well. They've got early and a great backfield. And then Florida Atlantic has got Devin Singletary. So those are the two leading teams, number one and number two. North Texas is only at number five, you know, not that far behind. I mean, the gap is big between UAB, Florida, and the rest of the league. It's just they're one tier and everybody else is behind them. But in terms, you know, we've scored 12 rushing touchdowns. They have scored 14 and 15, UAB and Florida Atlantic. So we, you know, we aren't that far behind in terms of a running game, and easily helped a lot in that arena. And but Torrey has been, has now that he's been getting more of the carries, has been able to get in rhythm and was running all over Southern Miss last week. So, you know, I think other than it being an away game, this should roll in North Texas's favor.
You know, I'm leaning that direction right now. But, you know, so UAB is averaging 32 a game. North Texas is averaging 28 a game in conference. That was my big point there. I mean, again, I'm concerned about Spencer Brown. I'm concerned about the run, you know, fits, because it changes up the whole numbers. And I thought we were a little unprepared for some of that against UTEP. And, you know, like, I think they could go down and score against us, right? But I think we did well against them last season in the run game. We were pretty good in the run game last year, for the most part, until we played FAU. And I think Greg made a point today. He said he thought the tempo of FAU was what really messed us up. And Seth Luttrell kind of hinted at that a little bit, because he said we were not lining up right, we're missing our fits. So, you know, one thing that FAU was doing was they were running with Driscoll, but they were also running at tempo. And so, you know, they're lining up, you know, in whatever set, right? Let's say just their 11 set, right? But then they do a little shift, and all of a sudden, the you know, the, what is the C gap there? That's, they move the tight end over there, so now you gotta change your fits there, right? Everybody has to communicate who's going to get there. But FAU is running so quick that we had a hard time communicating that, saying, oh, that's my spot. All you need is one guy missing his gap, and then, you know, that's it. It's over. And even if it doesn't go to the house, it's, you know, the 3 yards that you were trying to prevent them from getting on a first down or something like that. And then when they would just be over-aggressive, they would just kind of play action off of that, right? So that's a concern. But UAB doesn't really play at that kind of tempo. They can kind of speed it up a little bit, but they don't really play very fast. A lot of it is just power. They want to wear you down. They wore down Louisiana Tech last week, 2 weeks ago, and that's what they're going to try to do to us. And so for North Texas to win this game, Mason Fine has to be super efficient. The offense has to be super efficient. We can't have drop passes. We can't have missed blocks. Well, Graham Harrell saying we're missing blocks. What are blocks? We can't have just mistakes, right? I mean, I think North Texas offense is good enough to just kind of mess up and keep going, but that run game is good enough. UAB's, I mean, is good enough to keep the ball away from the offense. And we saw what happened, right? 21 straight points against Tech, and then, you know, 11-minute possession for Louisiana Tech in the second quarter. And that killed all the momentum. It really just killed North Texas's ability to keep up that flow. And I don't know. Is that the long and the short of it? Just, hey, get them off the field so we can get our offensive ball a little bit more.
And I think we'll be able to do that. North Texas is really good at defending sideline to sideline. And if Spencer Brown or Eardley try to go to the outside, I think we've got that. It's when, because of our attacking defense, you know, we clear out the middle. That's where Eardley and Spencer Brown's going to get us. You're going to see probably two or three humongous runs up the middle because there's just nobody there that Eardley or Spencer Brown's going to see and get. Those are what's going to hurt us, and it's going to hurt mostly late in the game if they're able to keep a drive going. But if I asked you right now, who has a better time of possession, North Texas or UAB, considering their playing styles, who do you think it would be?
I think it's North Texas because their defense has been good.
Yes, it is North Texas. 32, almost 33 minutes per game against FBS teams, and UAB sitting at 30 minutes.
Yeah, and it really just a function of the defense. It's funny, it's like I've been concerned about UAB because I think they're better than last year. They've kind of showed that, right? I think North Texas is better than last year. And these two teams played down to the wire in the end, like all told. But I think that North Texas defense of 2017 had some ginormous holes in it, right? Like we talked about third down defense. They're so much better this season, right? And I don't know that UAB's offense is so much better, you know, this time. Both these teams have lost. North Texas lost to Louisiana Tech. But the numbers say, hey, that was a game that they should have won. I think S&P has it like 76th percentile performance by like the offense and defense. Like basically, you played well enough to win that game. And they did. You make a field goal. You make one of two field goals that you had in the fourth quarter. The game has changed significantly, right? UAB, on the other hand, they got owned by Coastal Carolina. And, you know, that was a weird one. You're just like, man, maybe UAB's not as good as we thought they were. Like, what's going on here? And I made a comment on Gumming Green.
On the Chantic Clears.
I made a comment on GummingGreen.com today saying, I don't know for sure that UAB has what it takes to win this game, like mentally. Because it's such a huge game. Everybody's hyping this game. It's homecoming. It's Children's Harbor Day. It's where they do a really cool thing where every player wears a name on the back. That is a child in the hospital, right? So you know, like they're their champion. It's really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome, and you can't cheer against that.
No, and so I mean the thing is that, like that's a lot of hype for a game, right? You kind of want it to be like, yeah, get up for the game, but also don't get too up for the game, right? Don't make mistakes. Don't play out of character. Just execute your job. And so I don't know. I mean, this is kind of a thing. You know how we're always like, North Texas never gets this moment, right? North Texas, you know, we've never achieved, right? Here comes a moment. We just always fall short. You go to the UAB forums, they're saying the same thing, right? Basically, any team in this conference says the same thing, I think, including Louisiana Tech, who's probably the most accomplished team in the league. They say the same thing all the time. Like, just the same old Tech, you know, just right when the moment comes, you're just not up for it. We've been dealing with this for 30 years, satisfied for mediocrity. Like, it's literally like the copy and paste it from any other form you've ever read. We are the same way. This is a huge game. You want to talk about a little bit about these tiebreaker scenarios right now?
Well, I'll lead you off with saying, All right, no, I'll let you do it first, then I'll be all dramatic.
Okay. So it comes down to this. Right now, right, as we stand, ladies and gentlemen, Louisiana Tech, you know, beat us. So they have a tiebreaker over us. They gave us a loss. We are 0-1. Well, I mean, we were 0-1, sorry. I'm terrible at this, aren't I? We are 2-1 in conference, right? But we have a loss, right? That's the big thing. So we need to beat Louisiana Tech. First tiebreaker is head-to-head. If it comes down to it and we have a loss, the same number of losses as Louisiana Tech, they beat us for having beaten us, right? Same thing, UAB over Louisiana Tech. Right now, you know, UAB is undefeated in conference. So if they were to tie with Louisiana Tech, they get the head-to-head advantage, right? That's pretty common. We all know that. That's pretty straightforward. Well, what happens if there's a three-way tie, right? What do we do then? What is the thing there? Well, you go, one, it's like highest winning percentage based on overall Conference USA play. That's just your conference record. Obviously, it's all going to be one loss, right? Everybody's going to be 7-1, right? If tied head-to-head, well, obviously, three-way tie can't separate because we've all lost to each other. Everybody would have lost on the road. North Texas would have, everybody would have won on the road in the big game. If still tied, winning percentage within division. Again, only one loss within a division, right? Just the one loss to each other. If still tied, compare records against divisional opponents in descending order of finish. Again, this whole thing is to say, like, well, you lost to UAB, but, you know, Louisiana Tech lost to UTSA, who sucks. Well, then that one would be, you know, they'd be eliminated because they lost their worst team. in this case, they'd all be tied, so it wouldn't matter. You know? So then the next one, if tied, compare records against common cross-divisional opponents. This is where a potential tie against like North Texas somebody has to play, like, we're the matchup with FAU, right? Common opponents, right? We play FAU, Louisiana Tech plays FAU, so that could come into play. It's also the cross-divisional opponents in descending order of finish. Same kind of deal. Well, you lost to the number one team, and we lost to the worst team in the East. So therefore, you know, you'd win or something like that. I don't know. And it's still tied the highest college football ranking. That's the one where we're all kind of looking for. Now I'm a little bit more of an optimist, and I think that an undefeated North Texas team, like outside of that one loss there, right, dominating the rest of the way of the conference, would have a chance at getting a number 25 spot in the college football playoff ranking. And that might be me just being a homer there. What do you think?
It's always tough to get in the top 25 for a G5 team. But
yeah, last year, I'm not home too. Yeah, last year Boise State was 25th, and they had two losses. UCF obviously was number 12, and they were highest G5, right? And then there was Memphis was in there somewhere. So those are the three G5 teams. I mean, one loss, we'd be the only one loss team. If we just got a record now, again, assuming a whole lot of things we wanted to wrest away, you put us college football playoff, I think we get 25. We already got some top 25 votes, guys.
Yeah? Yeah, and I think the difference between us and FAU last year was the fact that FAU started out slow, trying to get everything together first year with Lane Kiffin. If they had started hot off the gate, then yeah, they would have been ranked by the end of the year. I think that's where the difference lies.
So if it's still tied, the eighth tiebreaker is the representative will be the team that has not participated in the championship game recently, which kind of sucks because we were the previous appearance. So if we're tied all the way through three ways, it would go to number eight, we'd be eliminated, and so then it'd go to the top. And then so then UAB would win by the number two tiebreaker, eliminating Louisiana Tech, which is head-to-head. So it could be possible that we win this game, win out, and still do not get in because UAB just ain't been there before. That is a very real possibility. I think the college football playoff ranking comes into play, though. That's just me. And, I mean, they just released the top 25. I don't know. This used to be BCS also. They used to say BCS ranking in the previous version. I asked the conference if that was the latest and greatest, and they haven't responded to me just yet. We'll see. There's also kind of some weirdness outstanding there where the SWAC championship is scheduled to be in Legion Field. So if UAB were to host it, like they would earn the right to host the championship game, they would have a conflict with something happening at their own stadium. And so they would have to like rearrange that. And so I asked the conference also, like, what are you going to do in that case? I think that's the easy one to ignore me on because they're like, well, you know, it ain't happened yet. You know, we don't know just quite yet. So we'll see what the deal is.
Yeah, but why would UAB schedule a game that they know that a conference championship would be happening?
Dang, they just don't believe. They don't believe. I think it's more Legion Field is scheduled by the city. I think that's the deal. All right, so again, this is a huge game. If we lose, right, that's the other one. Say North Texas loses. We'd have two losses in the division. In order to beat UAB to the spot, we need them to have one more loss than we have, which means they need to have three losses. And they only have, after us, four conference games: UTEP, UTSA, USM, and then Middle Tennessee. I don't think they're dropping three of those four. So this basically eliminates us if we lose this game. This is for the division for us. Like,
so what you're saying is this is the division title game.
Yeah, this is why it's huge. If we have designs on winning the conference championship game, well, we got to win the division first. And that means we got to win this game. Because as small as the chances may be, in, you know, that other future scenario, they are like essentially zero if we lose this game. And here's where I'm not super worried about a three-way tie, right? I'm just more excited about the possibility that it comes down to college football ranking, just because I think that would be kind of fun to care about UAB playing at Texas A&M or Louisiana Tech playing at Mississippi State so late in the season. Well, check this out. Louisiana Tech, I think they're going to lose again. I just have a feeling they just kind of play up and down, even though they dominated UTSA. What was that game, 31-3? They didn't really play that well. Like, I mean, they had less than 400 yards of offense. You know, they had a big touchdown, but, you know, just kind of weird. You might say that was like a hangover game, kind of like how we had at UTEP. So I don't know. But they play UTEP, and I saw some people saying they might lose that one. That one's in Ruston. They play at Florida Atlantic. I think that's a tough game. I think they maybe lose that game. Home to Rice at Southern Miss.
Louisiana Tech does not match well with running teams. They showed that against North Texas, and they definitely showed that against UAB.
Yeah,
they're going to lose to FAU.
Yeah, I think that's their one weakness. I saw some UTSA guys like bragging about not allowing Jalen Ferguson to sack their dude. I'm like, that's cool, and he didn't get any sacks. But I'm like, but you lost. Was it 31-3? I mean, you know, like. You didn't sack us, though. Like, okay, all right. You didn't score anything either, you know what I mean?
You got to look at the bright side.
I guess, yeah.
We were there.
Yeah, they had that cannon out there. Jeez. And so then they got Western Kentucky. It used to be La Tech. Western Kentucky was a good game. Now that's awful. Western Kentucky's terrible, man. I think they're going to fire the
sad.
Coach. Yeah, so sad. So, if Tech loses a game, then we just really need to deal with the head-to-head with UAB again, and if we win, that takes care of itself, and we just need to win out. We just need to control our own fate there.
Yeah, we just need to win if we want to play in the championship game. The bowl game is set. We need to win out.
Yeah, I mean, you look. I don't know what you think about Al Davis, but I always like this slogan, man. You know, just win, baby. Just win. You win, everything takes care of itself, right? We lost to Louisiana Tech, and now we got to worry about tiebreakers and things, you know. If this, then that, maybe this. Who knows? It's like a Rube Goldberg machine, sort of. You know, you need everything to just work right. You just win. Exactly. Yeah. And so, if UAB, then we have Rice, and we get a bye week, finally. And then at Old Dominion, that's going to be a little tough, I think. And then, you know, FAU, home game Thursday night. And then UTSA on the road. Again, I'm still a little scared of that UTSA game. It's Thanksgiving week, you know.
But what? I think that's been our narrative. Week one, I'm a little scared of that game. Week two, I'm a little scared of that game. Week three, I'm a little scared of that game.
I'm scared of it.
I'm a little scared of UAB.
Yeah, I mean, coming into the season, I was scared of UAB. I was scared of Louisiana Tech. And I was scared of that FAU game. Well, I was looking forward to the FAU game. FAU game's lost its luster, but we're still playing probably the best team in the league. I don't know if I just retweeted it, but somebody posted something where they ranked all the Conference USA teams in like order of like S&P stats, the five factors. UNT and UAB are like 1 and 2 or 1 and 3 in every category, like yards per play, turnover rate, success rate, stop rate, the whole deal. These two teams are the best two teams in Conference USA right now. And I know you're like, well, who they played? I don't. Right now, these two teams are the best teams. Like North Texas was the best team from week 1 to 4. In the last 3 weeks, UAB has been the best team. So this should be fun, at least from that perspective. This is the biggest game in Conference USA right now. I know some people are like, well, Marshall and FAU, eh. Not really.
He's not a believer. Marshall has a really good rush defense and a decent pass defense.
They got a great run game, man. All of a sudden, they just started running all over everybody. They ran all over Middle Tennessee, and Middle Tennessee, you know, had a little comeback, and they ran all over Old Dominion last week. But Old Dominion's they don't have a good defense.
I don't know what to think about Old Dominion.
I think that they just need to. Just to turn it off. Turn it off, go home. Well, it was a good run, guys. I mean, this is it. There's, we can talk about the rest of the conference. I don't think you or I don't want, we don't want to do it. But it all comes down to this. Like, this is it. This is the conference championship game before the conference championship game. You know what I mean? Like, you need to win this game or else it doesn't matter. And we just might as well look forward to the bowl game. Because that's it. That's all that's left. There's a... Do you think they were going to the Serve Pro first responder game? Because that's what everybody suggests.
So I have two comments. One comment is that would be awesome because I could just drive there and it would be awesome to see. But the other one is, you know, the players don't want to do that. They don't want to go to Dallas. They want to go to somewhere else to sightsee.
I always say the same thing, man, that the Hawaii and the Bahamas Bowl that we're affiliated with are the two best destinations, right? Who doesn't want to go to Hawaii? Who doesn't want to go to the Bahamas? The problem is, I think we only have like 2 weeks to go there to from conference championship day to that day, right? I guess you can add a week if we don't get to play in a conference championship game. So you got 3 weeks to book a flight, get your passport in order, and get out to the Bahamas. Or, you know, to figure out the cheapest flight to Hawaii, you know? That is not going to really fly for this fan base. Like,
for the fans, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what sucks is that it's going to be, I mean, and that's every team, right? I think UAB, didn't they play in the Bahamas Bowl too?
Middle Tennessee?
Yeah. Whoever's played in the Bahamas Bowl, you get like the family out there. Family is there. Nobody else is there, right? I think there was a thing about a girlfriend making it out. I mean, but...
That's the thing. North Texas is not used to going to bowl games. So they don't really know how it works. And they get all mad and stuffy about having to travel somewhere. Oh, no, we got to go somewhere to go see our team. So I get it. They're not used to seeing a winning team. And, you know, I'm glad we're winning now, and hopefully we'll get something good for the players.
You know, I used to say that. I used to, like, you know, you kind of make a little family budget. I'm like, all right, we got to put a little money aside in December because we're going to go to a bowl game. I'm always like, we're not going to the bowl game. And I'm like, you never know, we might go to the bowl game. And then we didn't go. And so then, you know, I was like, hey, we're going to the bowl game. It's the Hard Dallas Bowl. We're going to the bowl game. We're like, we got to go. And so then, you know, like the next couple seasons, same kind of deal. Like now we're like, you know, we're going to a bowl game. But we got to pick it like reasonable. You got to figure out PTO, babysitter, this, all kind of stuff. It is hard. Like the New Orleans Bowl, that was very reachable. You know, it's kind of a distance from us and even from Dallas, but it's reachable and it's a big city. You can fly in there pretty easily, right? Like Shreveport's difficult. I know it's a more prestigious bowl. And I know you were very, you know, holier than thou, but Troy, like, Troy, I guess if I have to associate with them. And then they whooped us, right? 50-32, whatever. 50-30.
Hate Troy.
I hate him too. They lost to Liberty. You see that? Liberty beat him. Shrank the schedule. Yeah. So again, it's bowl game time. We're bowl eligible. I think I saw an anecdote that Seth Luttrell was like, "Oh, hey, congratulations on being bowl eligible," and then they just all like, "Yeah, so what?" And that's a big change. Remember we did the hit six? That's like what everybody's doing. We don't really...
It's so sad. Yeah. I mean, even then when it had been a decade since we had been to a bowl game or had a winning season, period, back then, in 2013, that was so sad to experience.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, I thought that was the kind of thing... You know, you take what you can get. Like, we hadn't been to a bowl game. It was fun going there, but... You do need to increase, turn it up a little. I mean, you can't go do the same bench press every time. You got to increase the weight a little bit, right? You got to challenge yourself. Well, so, yeah. So that's it. So, yeah, I mean.
Terrible analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. It's like we can't accept the same kind of things every season. And some of it changes. And the challenges change, right? Because, you know, you don't get Mason Fine for 15 years, right? You get him for the four, and then he's gone. You got to get a new guy. So the challenges change. Like, can we recruit at the same level or keep it going? It's different in college football. But
that situation is a little bit different, though. It wasn't about the team itself, about creating these reachable goals, you know, starting out with a 2-pound weight and then going up to the 5-pound weight. It's about who's bringing that weight to you. You know, the administration back then, marketing team, those people, they're the ones bringing you the 2-pound weight instead of bringing you the 25-pound bar to start out with.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, you know, that we were at a point where we were like, just any bowl, please, I'll take it. Just, you know, 2-pound weight. I get it, and that was bad. But I even think that maybe, because I think Brent Baker wasn't too happy about the turnout or the complaints. Last year about like the New Orleans Bowl, right? You had a lot of complaints there. That's going to happen. Like, I mean, I think you and I are more familiar with this fan base, right? You sit next to these people. I sit next to people all the time. You know the kinds of complaints you get. Like this guy, you know, you can see the guy there complaining or leaving early. Like this guy is not traveling with 2 weeks notice farther than Dallas. You know what I mean? Like this guy's not. And, you know, I know some of those guys, even the donor guys, are like, oh, come on, what are you doing? This is going to be ungrateful. They really hate that you're not having the bowl game in their backyard, like literally their backyard. Like, they don't like having to get up and go to Apogee. Yeah. They
don't know what it's like.
And so, it's not their fault. I mean, I think this new generation of fans that are excited about going to bowl games, that are hyped up and get on, buy the student tickets to get on the bus to go to Arkansas, and then immediately after the game, they pile them back on the bus and then drive off, right? Like,
sweaty.
Yeah, that whole cattle car kind of thing. You know, that's the kind of people that are going to be excited to bring their families to games and go to bowl games. And you know what? Right now, they're still in school, right? They're still a few years away from earning, you know, some money where they have disposable income, where they can donate and, you know, put some tickets down to the Bahamas and go to that game. You know, like, we need time before that happens, even to New Orleans. And New Orleans is a fun time. I think our situation in these bowl games is kind of bad. Like, we just, like, the selections of them are just so crazy. It's like New Mexico is a whole lot different than figuring out New Orleans. You know what I mean? Like, what are the logistics from getting my family to New Orleans or to Albuquerque or to the Bahamas or Hawaii, or what is the other one?
The Boca Raton. Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like there's so many things. Like the cost of all those things is just so much. You know what I mean? Like it's not like a, well, you got 5 bowls in this area, so you can kind of make it to one of them. I mean, we probably drive to those. Someone has a problem with living in Texas, I guess.
Yeah, and it's part of it's the geography where you don't have any like destination bowls. Maybe the Armed Forces Bowl would be a good one, a more prestigious one than any of the other ones around here. Also, it's the conference. The conference affiliations are not good because it's Conference USA.
I mean, of all the bowls, I think the Heart of Dallas Bowl, the now First Responders Bowl, is good because it's an historic venue. It's in Dallas, the big city. There's things to do there, and it's easy for people to get to. I like the New Orleans Bowl. I wish they can probably move that back a week, you know, give it some more breathing room. But I think New Orleans is a
Christmas.
No, it's like, and it just like, it's like on the 15th of December or something like that. I think it just like, if it had like on the 20th, just, you know, just a few more days, give everybody some time to get out there. But New Orleans is a good city, right? People like going to New Orleans. It's a good town to go to. There are things to do. You can fly in there. You know what I mean? Like, it's a destination. You can go have some fun. Those are good places to go. They need one in, like, Atlanta. That'd be a good one.
The Chick-fil-A Bowl?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They need, I mean, there's the Cotton Bowl, right? But then we use the Cotton Bowl. There are other things to do. You got other bowls out there. But, like, do you want to go to Shreveport? No. The biggest thing about the Independence Bowl is not the Independence Bowl. It is the opponent that you're playing. I think we want, there's that too, right? You can go lose your money. I think this year we're talking about increasing the weight. Last year I was satisfied with Troy and I was satisfied with the New Orleans Bowl. But I don't want to play a Sunbelt team. I don't want to play Appalachian State, as good as they may be. I don't want to play them. I don't want to play Troy. I don't want to play Arkansas State. I don't want to play Coastal Carolina. I want to play a P5 team. And I think North Texas is good enough at this point that you can say this would be a good matchup, right? So that means a First Responder Bowl, maybe. You know, something like that. I think that's where you kind of look and see what you can get. And that limits your options because the rest of them are kind of, you know, play a MAC team in the Boca Raton Bowl. Like, no, we had two games in Boca Raton last season, and what, a handful of North Texas fans made it out there for both of them?
Yeah. A handful of FAU fans made it for both of them, so what's your point?
What's the richest piece of land in America? That's what they tell me.
I did see pictures of the stadium for the game. Like, yeah. You know, when the team's coming in, they take a picture behind them. It's all, like, dramatic, and the stands are just desolate.
Hey, everybody we talk to right at Conference USA Media Days, they're like, oh, yeah, that's good. You got, like, the palm trees out there, and it's grass. It's grass field. That's what they say. They don't like it. They don't talk about the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, I think Apogee Stadium needs to host a bowl game. We'll just do our own, what you call it, right? Stay in a hotel. I mean, I don't know.
I know. Why can't Apogee Stadium host one instead of the soccer stadium in Frisco?
I mean, I don't know. You know, they need to put it together. It needs to be a bowl committee. Get ESPN to pay for it or something like that. You know, I don't know. The bowl situation is not so great right now. I would be fine if we just rotated between, like, a Dallas area bowl and, like, the New Orleans bowl every year, every couple of years. And I would love to have that problem. We're like, do we have to go to New Orleans again and go have a good time? Ugh, I'm tired of having such a good time in New Orleans.
See, here's what you do, listeners to the Green Nation podcast. Is you schedule your Christmas cruise around that time. You there take you a go. Cruise out of New Orleans after the game.
There you go. That's what you do, man. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just kind of hard to, like, I'm going to book passage to Albuquerque, to Frisco, to, what's the other one? Shreveport, Boca Raton. And then there's, like, the Gasparilla Bowl somewhere in, like, Tampa Bay, and it kind of depends on who gets what. But just, I mean, you know, like I said, I think we kind of need to figure this out a little bit more. And I know it's tough, right? It'd be ideal if you know that, hey, the champion is going to go to the New Orleans Bowl or wherever, right? And they're going to play a P5 team. I don't think that's unreasonable for them to do that. And even if it's a lower tier P5 team, whatever, man, we'll beat up on Wisconsin, right? We'll beat up on Illinois. I don't care. I think that would be good for everybody. And I think that was the original idea of, like, the Armed Forces. I mean, the Heart of Dallas Bowl, right? Like, we'll get a...
It was supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah. But then they kept dropping out and blah, blah, blah. And now you get, like, 10 people there. There's a lot of problems with that, right? Nobody from West Virginia wants to come all the way down to Dallas to go play on a cold day at the Cotton Bowl. Now, also, I hated that they moved it. I should have stayed on the first... That was cool. But I think it was just the ESPN thing. They didn't want to compete with their other bowls. And
the away team, like the home teams or the nearby teams was, what, North Texas and La Tech, the ones that I can remember right off the bat. But then you're bringing in teams from Nevada, UNLV, and then you're bringing Illinois.
Yeah.
They're not going to bring anybody.
Yeah, they brought Illinois, they brought West Virginia, you know, they brought, like you said, UNLV. Not the greatest crowd. I thought Army, North Texas, that was a good crowd, and I think it was, like, one of the highest attended games they had.
I mean, Army was always a good team to bring in. They bring a lot of people, and it's fun, yeah. But I don't want to go over there.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's an hour of podcasting for you. You can email the show, podcast at Mean Green Nation, Twitter, meangreennation.com, or just Mean Green Nation. Aldo is Aldo Avina on Twitter, right?
Yep, Aldoavina.
You doing anything else on the internet?
Yeah, you can follow the RB Scout if you like fantasy football, if you like to win fantasy football.
I like to not play fantasy football. I give up. We got too many kids. Again, I don't have no imagination anymore. I have fantasy for football. So that's it. It's everybody. It's everything, right? Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk to you next week. It's a big game. It's such a big game. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.